Because I have this compulsive talking habit. I'm working on it better than I was. So she's going to be timing us. So how my co-speaker here, which is Greta from Vancouver, British Columbia, did I say it right? Perfectly. I've been practicing all morning. And I'm Teresa from Kelowna, British Columbia. It's great to see you all here. And our topic this morning is exactly, I remembered it generally, but not verbatim, or verbatim, sorry. Those are two different words. I feel like I have rented lips this morning and they're just not working yet. Planning the production, importance of a food plan. Focus on the use of a food plan as a basis for physical recovery, abstinence, and a daily reprieve from compulsive overeating. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to spend about 2 minutes sharing my experience, strength, and hope as far as what has happened to me in OA. And then I'm going to share the rest of the time on what happened in food plans. I prefer today not to talk very much about what I did in the illness. I prefer to talk today about what has happened in my recovery. So I'm going to try to do that. And the short form of my story is I was born with my fingers in my ears. There's the picture in the hospital, and that's what it looks like. And my mom said, you weren't listening even as a very small baby because of that picture. And, you know, who knows, it was probably all psychosomatic. Anyway, during my childhood, I had a paranoid, schizophrenic, alcoholic, rageaholic father, co-alcoholic mother. And I don't tell you that because what they did to me made me a compulsive overeater. I chose to eat as a very small child about their craziness. And about, it was a survival technique to get me through my childhood. I also put on quite a bit of weight by the time I was 11 or 12 years old. I was saying I don't have a lot of pictures of that time because A, we couldn't afford a camera, and B, I just didn't want anybody taking my picture. I was too fat. I was 5'9" by the time I was 12, and I was around 350 pounds. And my mom was scared to death that I was going to die of compulsive, well, of overeating. She didn't know about compulsive overeating at that time. Anyway, I found out about the fellowship when I was 17 years old. Thank God. And I believe my higher power is God, so you're going to hear that word. And if you have to, good orderly direction is okay to hear about it. I heard about it, and I'd already done many diets from the age of 12 to 17. When I came into OA, everybody said, oh, you're so lucky to find this so young. Well, I'd already done a lot of compulsive overeating. I paid my overeating dues. So don't you be thinking, oh, well, she just had a little bit of compulsive overeating, and bang, she came into the fellowship. And I was emotionally about three years old when I first came in. Anyway, I was in a lot of pain. I was suicidal. I had a lot to be suicidal about. I had had a hell of a childhood. Now, I don't blame my disease or my overeating on my childhood. But I would have been a compulsive overeater if I'd had the Brady Bunch as my family. I believe that. But I used my horrible childhood as an excuse to eat. And I used it for quite a few years. I came into the fellowship at 17, and the first year, I didn't even know what this was about. And luckily, we didn't, well, I say luckily, and you may find that weird, but we didn't have any Overeaters Anonymous literature. We only had the Big Book. And I love the Big Book. So anyway, I was raised on it in OA, and this is my current Big Book, and it's falling apart, as you can see. But they say if your Big Book's falling apart, you're not. So good. Anyway, I don't want to go on and on about what it was like, because that's past. Today, what has happened to me over the years, I've lost 184 pounds twice. And unfortunately, even coming to meetings on a daily or weekly basis over 33 years, I put those 284 pounds completely back on. And I was covering up a lot of pain. And I'd been trying to work the steps, like I did inventories. I did service. You know, like I said last night, luckily they didn't kick me out. Luckily, they bought it when I said I was abstinent and I was willing to do service, you know. Luckily, because I'm still here. I have had a sponsor for the whole time. Thank you, Martha. And I luckily have had a lot of loving, supportive people that have listened to my BS over the years. And they kept saying, keep coming back, because they knew I needed it. Anyway, I'm going to talk about food plans. When I first came into the program, they said to me, we'll only eat 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. Well, at 17, my goodness, I was eating 24 meals a day with nothing in between. So, you know, 3 meals, that seemed like, whoa, you know, that's heavy duty. Anyway, I did that, and I dropped 50 pounds within the first 2 months because I was eating so much at the beginning. It just fell off me, and I thought, well, I was also 17. It's a little harder now to drop 50 pounds. Anyway, I lost weight rather quickly because I was going to be Miss OA. And I was in OA with all these 40-year-old women. There was no men at that time. We had 8 people in OA in Calgary. And I was going to show these women how to work these 12 steps. You know, they didn't know. I've learned a lot about ego and humility in the years since then. And my food plan consisted of 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time, and no sugar. I haven't eaten sugar purposely for quite a while, many, many years. And I went through a period where I thought, well, maybe my abstinence isn't good enough. Maybe I need to find another abstinence, because mine needs some sprucing up. So I started saying, so, what is your abstinence? And you would tell me, and I'd try that on like a new pair of clothes. So I'd try that on for a week, and I'd say, no, sorry, don't like your abstinence. And I'd say, what is your abstinence? Well, I'll try that on for a week. Didn't work. And I kept searching like the Holy Grail for the perfect abstinence. Da-da-da-da. You know? Like I would be crowned Miss OA when I found the perfect abstinence. Well, you know what I found today? The perfect abstinence for me is to eat simply, to eat 3 times a day. I don't put gravy or, you know, the only thing I add to things is possibly some salad dressing. But I watch what I eat because this disease almost killed me. And I don't say that as an over-dramatic person. I had heart failure in January. I was 387 pounds, and I was dying. In fact, in December, I had thought, I'm quitting OA. I'm making OA look bad, because if I go to meetings and say I've been here 32 years, and this is what you look like, and this is how miserable you are, I must be doing something incredibly wrong. Well, the good news is my higher power has a, you know, way of getting my attention. And I went into heart failure on January 28th. And the good news is that I survived because I had not drank or smoked. And many parts of my body were better as a result. He said the number one symptom of heart failure is death. Usually people die in their sleep. He said, you're a miracle because you lived. I was a diabetic. I was using a walker to walk because my knees could not handle the stress that was being put on them all those years. I mean, as you can see from my pictures going around, I was not fat the entire 33 years. But I kept, for some reason, not thinking I was well enough to maintain a normal body size. I don't even want thin, you guys. I want to blend into a crowd so that people can't say, oh, look at the fat lady. Like in Canada, we don't have as many morbidly obese people. You know, that's sort of a well-known published fact in Canada. But we do have morbidly obese people, and I was one of them. I knew surviving this heart failure was a gift. And I surrendered that January 28th and says, okay, God, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to stand in my head in the corner with a purple polka dot bikini, which I'm glad he didn't ask me to do that, I will do that. And they said that to me in my early program. You have to want abstinence like a dying person's last breath. Like that's how bad you have to want it. And today, whenever I come across a food choice and I think, well, is that on your food plan or should you eat that? And my choice is, do I want to live or do I want to die? And if that's a life-giving food, I do that. I choose it. But if I think I might die if I eat it, I don't. Well, I want to tell you, I went from 4 pills a day for diabetes and 80 units a day of insulin to no pills. And yesterday was my last day of insulin after 9 years. And that is like as a result of working this program for the 33 years. I did a lot of work to scrape away the horrible things of my past that allowed me to be. This abstinence feels much more God-directed than when I was attempting to control my food before. So I feel blessed every single day. Like people have been saying to me, oh, it's so great to see you, Teresa. And I said, it's great to be seen anywhere. Like I am so bloody happy to be alive that whatever my higher power wants me to do, and I'm in touch with him sometimes hourly, because damn it, somebody told me that pizza was a health food. Well, if you eat whole wheat crust and you eat vegetables and you eat cheese, isn't that healthy? Well, on my cardiac diet, I can eat pizza, but one slice. Never in my freaking life have I eaten one slice of pizza. I thought a single serving size was the entire pizza. That's why it was round, wasn't it? Anyway, one of my old sponsors, well, I shouldn't call her that. A sponsor from a long time ago said to me the other day, pizza's a food that you can't eat like a lady. And there are many things on my list of things I can't eat like a lady. And some of them are good food, like cherries. We live in the Okanagan Valley where cherries are like in abundance in the summertime. And they are damn good straight off the tree. But I'm allowed 3 cherries on my diabetic diet because they're the most sugared fruit. Never in my life have I stopped at 3 cherries. So I can't eat that like a lady. So I'm amazed when I see somebody take something and say, oh, that's too sweet, I can't eat it. You know, like, oh, are you crazy? You know. But I've learned to just say, really? Interesting. You know, instead of, are you out of your mind? You know. I don't have to share everything that's on my mind today. And as Margie knows from knowing me in service, there was a time where I had verbal diarrhea that if it was in my mind, it came out of my mouth. And luckily, I have passed that place. Anyway, food plans for me, I don't call them food plans. I call them a plan for living. Do I want to live or do I want to die? The way that I was eating before, I truly thought I was abstinent because I was eating 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time, and no sugar. I really believed I was almost 400 pounds and I was abstinent. Well, I tell you, honey, if you can't easily, I'm telling myself this, that's who I called honey, I didn't call you guys honey, but if you can't bend over very well to do your shoes up, there is something freaking wrong with your abstinence. Today, I can bend over and do my shoes. I can even cross my leg. And I'll show you later if you want. Anyway, well, the other miracle is I have perfect blood pressure. I have perfect pulse. I have perfect cholesterol. I even have a perfect liver, which I had to go get an ultrasound the other day. And I'm really going to try to wrap this up because we do want a lot of time to share. I went for an ultrasound, and the ultrasound lady, while she's doing it, she went, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dying of cancer. Like, you know how we always think the positive first? I don't think so. Anyway, I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, before, because everything's computerized now. She said, before you came in here, I looked at your last ultrasound when you were in the hospital in February. And she said, you had a very fatty liver, which can lead to cirrhosis and all kinds of other horrible things. And she said, today you have a clean, healthy liver. She said, that doesn't happen. She says, I've been doing this job for 20 years. And I went, because I'd never seen it before. She said, you were a miracle. So today, my higher power, you know, whatever my higher power wants me to do, talk to my sponsor, be a sponsor, go to convention, even though it took me 9 or 10 hours to drive here. You know, I am so grateful to be able to share my recovery on whatever, like the lady that organized the speakers, she said, what do you want to speak on? I said, hey, whatever you give me, I'll talk about whatever I want anyway. So put me anywhere. You know? And anyway, I just am very grateful to be here. I know I had a sponsor the entire 33 years that I've been in this fellowship. And I tell my sponsees, there's an easy way and there's a hard way to work this program. The easy way is with a sponsor and abstinent. And the hard way is by yourself and dicking around with your food. Pardon my language. Today, I'm grateful that having a sponsor kept me coming back. And several thousand times I said, I am not going back to meetings. I am quitting. I can't stand this. And she'd say, oh, yeah, but you have the key for Monday night, you know, and I'd say, okay, I'll take the key back, but I'm not coming back after that. Well, by Monday night, I'd forgotten, and I'd come back. So please keep coming back no matter what, no matter what the scale says. I try to eat as simply and as cleanly as possible. And by that, I mean fresh food and not processed food. Anyway, I wish I had an hour and a half to talk to you, but I think my time is up. I can't remember. Is it 15 or 20 minutes we're at? Oh, my God. Anyway, I will let now Greta tell you her experience, strength, and hope. And please keep coming back. It's the coming back part that works. Thanks.
I'm Greta. Recovering compulsive eater. I'm thrilled to be here. If you would do 555, that would be great. Thanks. Thank you, Martha, for doing this service. I came to this program in 2001. I was 65 years old and definitely was carrying at least 100 pounds too much on my frame, and I was getting very frightened. I had been heavy. I'm at the weight I am today. I was probably around 22, so that's about 55 years ago. No, not quite. Well, 50 plus years ago. So I haven't enjoyed this body in this way for that long a time. I knew there would be a couple of problems, but I decided that if this was the best I could do at age 65, I was going to do everything I was told. And that was a very new concept for me. The first I heard that really spoke to me was to act as if, and I knew I needed a higher power. I had been agnostic up to that point, so I knew it would take a little work. And so I prayed every day until finally one day she was sitting beside me and she said, Greta, I'm here. I've always been here. And I choke up every time I say it, and I say this quite often. It's because now God is so much part of my life that it's just a totally different life. I am incredibly grateful to be here in OA. I was very clear right from the beginning, this is about eating clean and healthy. And so I had a food plan. I can't even remember what it was, but the idea was that it was three meals, and since I'm a diabetic, a snack when I needed it, which is normally about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I can't tell you what it was, but what it became, what happened. About a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I had released 70 pounds on what I had been doing. So it was essentially three meals a day and this fruit snack. And then I realized I needed to lose or release a little more weight. I keep forgetting. It's releasing. And I eliminated flour. And I really didn't want to eliminate flour. So I use the food plan of what used to be known as a gray sheet. And it still works for me. And what I like about it is it stays to whole foods, real foods. And that's what I'm doing. So I'm using this, the Dignity of Choice. Apparently we have two pamphlets. The Dignity of Choice is the one I have in front of me. And what I'm going to try and do is talk about my experience according to what I see here. Do I have a choice? Thank you. Yes, we all have a choice in food plans. We decide what we want to eat. In order to really see what works for us or not, we need to review our eating habits, and particularly trigger foods. Trigger foods, in a way, are easy, generally easy to identify, and it was very clear for me I had to avoid them. Getting to flour and wheat, that entailed groups of foods that I knew I shouldn't be on anyway. But then it started including things like pasta, and even potatoes don't work too well for me. So I think it's important for everyone to review their food plans if your weight release is not working as well as you'd like it to. Eating behaviors to refrain from. I found that in the afternoons I got hungry, and then so I had fruit or some yogurt just to tide me over. The hardest part is for me, even today, going to bed without having something to eat. And I guess my meals are much smaller now, so then since I stay up late, I'm inclined to have something like a rice cake and some kind of protein on it, and maybe a glass of rice milk or something. I'm off dairy as well. I have never eaten such a restricted food plan in my life, and the interesting thing is I see it as a way of keeping my engine going, and that's how I look at it. This is not about fun, because food was fun. I really loved food, and the hardest thing for me to do is I'm okay at home, but going out, particularly socially, I'm not as outgoing as I may appear. I'm actually an introvert with an exterior that I developed from 18 up in survival, self-defense. So there's a discrepancy in there in feelings, and feelings have motivated my eating. Well, I guess that's true for all of us. And that's the thing that I have to watch particularly. So creating a plan with the help of one's sponsor and a nutritionist is a really good idea, because they have ideas of how to combine foods. the Canada Food Plan, while it may be commendable for a lot of people, it really isn't good enough. I think I'd still be up on my weight if I were at that plan. Dealing with quantity, that's a harder one. But I guess my abstinence has become good enough that I actually have been much busier since I'm not eating. And sometimes I even forget to eat, particularly the time around supper time. So the food snack in the afternoon is good. I'm running out of ideas here. I don't have any photos. Interestingly enough, all my photos are all packed away in the top of my cupboard, and I need to pull them out. I need to have a little photo album, as I see Teresa has circulated around. I would really also like to hear your stories, so I think I will end on that note. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Greta. That was wonderful. And it's now 11:30, so we have 20 minutes to share. And I really want you to think about, it's not only just us in the room that's going to hear this, but somebody in Nelson, British Columbia, or Walla Walla, Washington, that's going to be sitting around their CD and, you know, listening to this and getting experience, strength, and hope from it. So I'd like you to really share what works for you. And if we could line up one at a time along, well, I guess that's where you line up, in a line here so that people can come and there's no space on the tape then. I listened to a lot of tapes in my early recovery, or CDs as they are called now. In the back in the day, I listened to the cassette recorder. Anyway, I'm 50 now, so I can talk about the day. Anyway, it's on, our topic is about food plans and how. But I really want your experience, your strength, and your hope. And you can share for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes. And one of the things that I like timing for, it's an act of humility that I don't know all the answers. So that's why we time things. Anyway, if you'd like to come and share your experience.
Hi, I'm Trish, grateful recovering compulsive eater from Bend, Oregon.
Hi.
I needed to come up when I realized that my initial food plan that allowed me to release weight, I was in OA for 4 years and 3 months before I became willing to lose weight. But I didn't gain weight. That was real progress for me. And I did a lot of other work that made it possible for me to be willing to lose weight. My first food plan was not to eat recreationally, period. I ate 3-4 times a day. That didn't matter. What mattered was I ate what I planned. I planned what I ate, and it had to be nutritious, period. There was nothing that was for fun. There was no opportunity to skip this that I planned because it sounds boring now. It had to be nutritious, planned, and not recreational. That meant no special food for a special occasion, no extra food for a special occasion. It was very simple, and it was very clear. There were gray areas, like zucchini bread and banana bread, which both eventually went away, but they were ones I played with for a while. But that was my plan, and I thought that might be helpful. Thanks for listening.
My name is Avery. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Avery.
And my sponsor has always told me that I can do service as a bad example. So I can go to a meeting and I can share and someone's going to say, ooh, I don't want that. And I've done service. So for me, food plan, my very first food plan was raw food. Someone in the meeting said they were a raw foodist. I had no clue what food was about or eating properly was. So I just jumped on that. And I did that for about 2 or 3 weeks. Not a very healthy one for me at that time. The next thing I did was the 3L1, three meals a day, life in between, one day at a time. And I did that for a very long time. The importance of that one for me is and was that breakfast was finished, lunch was finished, dinner was finished. If I was hungry at 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, that was emotional hunger. Automatically, there was no question in my mind. The challenge for me was to learn what an emotion was, because before I came into program, I was just a flatliner. There was no excitement. There was no boredom. It was just, well, it was all boredom. It was just food and food stupid. What I know today is that it's important for me to be honest with my food, because I used to say, oh, yeah, I had a good lunch. I had a good dinner. And that could mean the proper RDA amount, or it could mean three or four meals. It didn't matter, as long as you thought that I was eating okay. Today, I'm very honest with the people around me, and that's a lifesaver for me, because when I got in here, I was going to die fat, and I don't have to do that today. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Richard, and I have to remind myself who I am and what I am. I'm a lard ass and a drunk, and I'm sober and abstinent today by the grace of God and this fellowship. I came up here, you know, my food plan is I plan to eat three times a day, and I don't always do that, you know, and do something even if it's wrong. Overeaters Anonymous will mess up your eating. Now, I have other words to use instead of mess up, but I cleaned it up. You know, change the way you do things, you know. Keep it simple. Get out of your head. You get up here in your head and you're going to mess this thing up. You know, if you keep it real simple, don't try to analyze it. I tell people all the time, do something even if it's wrong. You know, I've got the rest of my life to fix it. You know, and today I've got a life. Today I have a life, and I didn't used to have one. You know, I've celebrated 34 years in Alcoholics Anonymous last month, and I've been in Overeaters Anonymous. I ate my way through the doors of Overeaters Anonymous 11 years after I came into AA. You know, and I did not want to be in a room full of women. You know, it wasn't my choice, you know, but that's what I end up with. You know, take what you like, leave the rest. You know, do something. You know, this program will mess up your eating. You know, and learn how to change. You know, how you do that, I ain't got the slightest idea. You know, keep coming back. Prove us wrong. I tell people that all the time. You know, and I give away nickels. I was sitting in an AA meeting quite a few years ago, and some young drunk was going on and on about something, and I flipped him a nickel, and I says, turn it over. He turned it over, and he looked at me like, you're nuts. I says, turn it over to God. You know, and I've been giving away nickels ever since. I'll have somebody come up, remember that nickel you gave me 12 years ago? And I don't even remember them. You know, and I says, I turned it over, and it worked. You know, thank you.
I'm Dina, a compulsive overeater. Where else would men complain about being in a room full of women? I use a weight and measure food plan, and what I wanted to share is not only does this food plan help prevent cravings, it helps make me saner in other ways too. Someone a couple weeks ago spoke about how her daughter had asked her for a bite of her food, and she said she had no idea how close to death she was. And I could relate to that, you know. This is my food. There's barely enough. I'll never be able to share. No. And with my weight and measured food plan, I know day after day that this food is going to satisfy me. And that has become such a truth for me that when a loved one says, hey, that looks good, I can say, would you like a bite? Because I know one bite is not going to make a big difference in how satisfied or full I am. And so I just wanted to share that little bonus of having a food plan. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Sarah. I'm a compulsive overeater. Sarah. It's great to be here. I'm really glad. This is my first convention, and I came into OA in May. And I really appreciate everything everyone's shared about all that they do. I have a big streak of perfectionism, maybe a mile wide, and so the thought of a food plan was really, I could really make it a lot of trouble. And I do have a sponsor. I got a sponsor pretty quick, and that's been really helpful for getting direction. But at my first meeting, I was given a newcomer packet, and they have the pamphlet Dignity of Choice you were talking about. And I looked through all of those plans, and I grabbed on to 3 meals a day and no snacks. I like that L in between. That's really great. I've heard 301 or something, and I like the living. Because, like I've heard described a couple times already this morning, if I know breakfast is over, I get to just go on. You know, I get hungry all the time. My stomach says, we're hungry. Do something. Oh, you just had a feeling. Do something. And I think, well, I'm finished with breakfast, so lunch will come so soon. And it really will, where it's almost lunchtime, and I'm really happy about that because I'm feeling so much today. And the other thing for me was sugar. I just have had to put the sugar down, and I just have to say that I really God removed my compulsion for sugar 2 days after I came to my first meeting, and what made a difference for me to thinking about it was hearing the opening verbiage in an OA meeting and some of the writings in it talking about the fatality of our disease. And I, too, am in another program, and that's very clear and cut and dry. It's all been very clear to me. But food, you have to have food to eat. And there's a guy at our group who says you got to take the tiger out and walk him 3 times a day. But it's real clear to me that the sugar, I was able to put the sugar away through God's grace. And so, anyway, that's what I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Hello, I'm Judy, compulsive overeater. And I wasn't going to speak until Avery spoke and said about the bad example. So I'm going to come up here and share my experience. I came into OA in 1987, I think, and followed a food plan for a while, and then sort of drifted away and went to other meetings and other programs. Never stopped my recovery process and my learning of the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, etc. Came back into OA with a family crisis in about 2000 and started really seriously looking at food plans. And for me, it has to do with the two parts of the release that were promised is the desire to eat those trigger foods and also the compulsive behavior. And for me, the food plan became a compulsive behavior. And, you know, the studying it and the analyzing it and how much can I have and the minimization and the rationalization and the justification of the substitutes. And I actually had a food plan that works very well for other members of this program, and I won't say which one it is, but it's a well-used, very good food program that works for other people, and I was doing it compulsively and saying within this little food plan I can do this and I can substitute that and I can get there. And I went to an OA retreat in the summer 2 or 3 years ago, and my memory isn't that good anymore. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but I was at this retreat. We were having a wonderful time like we are here. We were all out dancing on the lawn. I started feeling funny. I went into the bathroom. I wound up on the floor. I had an ischemic stroke. I nearly died. They took me out of that OA retreat in an ambulance, code red, to the hospital. My sponsee, who had come with me, I had driven her to the retreat. she had to drive my car home because I had to stay 6 days in the hospital to survive because I had had that compulsive behavior around food and was fooling myself to say, this is my food plan. Aren't I perfect? I'm doing it in a perfect way. I'm not cheating on any of these little places because I'm substituting these things. It wasn't good for my body. So I wanted to share that with you because I was not at that point in time in touch with my higher power, in touch with my physical being, knowing what was good for me. I wasn't taking direction from a sponsor at the time. I wasn't listening to other people. And this is a life and death program, and so we need to be aware of that. And for me, I had to change from being concentrating on that food plan, strictness, compulsiveness, and saying, my abstinences is one day at a time. I turn my food over to God. I take good orderly direction. I do have trigger foods I don't eat. I do have certain times of day that I eat, but I have let go of that compulsiveness. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sierra, compulsive overeater from Seattle. You know that saying, out of sight, out of mind? That was my food plan before OA. I would eat it, and then I'd forget about it. And unless it was something really bad, and then I tortured myself over having eaten it. And then I would eat more, so I didn't feel so bad. Anyways, vicious cycle, and now I'm here. Because that was how I ate before OA, it was really essential that when I started, I wrote my food down. Because I didn't remember what I ate. I didn't know how many vegetables I had or how many fruits I had or how big my meat portion was. I had to write it down. And doing that in the beginning with my three meals a day, it didn't matter what was in them, I realized, holy shit, I haven't had a single vegetable today. It's all been pasta. It's all been bread. It's all been meat. You know, and that was very shocking to me because I came into program November 15th of last year. So, and I'm 26. So for 25 years of my life, what I ate, I was completely oblivious to. And that was shocking to me because I always thought that I knew what was healthy and that I knew what was a good portion. And writing it down, I realized you don't know shit. And that was very kind of a wake-up call to me. And after doing that, I realized, you know, this food is not meant to be fun. And I'm so glad that I heard somebody say that because this food is really to sustain my body. And I'm happy to say that I surpassed my 100-pound mark just this week. And I would not have been able to do that without OA. I've tried, and I have had some weight loss success with other diets and that we won't mention, but nothing ever stuck. And I think a large part of that was because I was unaware. I was completely unconscious for 25 years of my life. And being a seeker that I am, I'm always striving to learn how other people live and how other people manage. I knew I didn't have the answers, though I wanted to believe that I did. And I'm so glad that I came to OA. It was kind of a fluke how I got here, but I'm not going to go into that because it's not anything to do with my food. Well, it has all to do with my food, but it has nothing to do with my food plan because that came after OA. But anyways, I'm just really grateful to say that because of OA, I am conscious in my life. I am aware of what I'm eating, and sometimes it's not so great. You know, sometimes I do eat too much, and sometimes I'm like, you know, maybe I have an issue with that, and I need to talk to my sponsor about it, but at least I'm aware. I'm no longer living in the motto, out of sight, out of mind. It's always in my mind because I know this is my disease, and I have to be aware of it, otherwise it will kill me. Thank you.
My name is Jenny. I'm a compulsive eater from Seattle. Hi, it's wonderful to be here. This is also my first convention. I have been to one retreat, but it's great to be here with so many other compulsive eaters. Along the lines with what somebody else said earlier, there's a fake motivational poster. Another guy was talking about this, And it's, I don't remember what the word is, but the description is, sometimes your purpose in life is only to serve as a warning to others. And along that line, you know, it's easy to go into a meeting and be positive about the food and say, you know, be perfect and I'm, you know, I don't have issues, I'm doing great. But I think going in and just being able to be honest about the struggle is really helpful. And I was so determined to do, you know, perfect weight and measured, no snacks in between, kind of food plan. And I realized I was feeling like I was a slave to my food plan, and it wasn't something that I wanted to be doing. I was doing it because my sponsors advocated it. They thought it was good for them. So I talked to my nutritionist, and I said, look, you know, I feel like I need to figure some stuff out here. Made a couple modifications, discussed them with my sponsors first, and I feel like a completely different OA member. I have a whole different respect for the program because I realized I don't have to suffer. And I'm eating very healthy food. It's a good program for me based on, you know, my blood sugar needs and all that sort of thing. But it was just such a revelation that it's, I don't have to be punished because I'm an overeater. I don't have to, you know, be completely deprived. I don't do sugar or white flour. But, you know, having the freedom to make that choice, move forward, do it in a really intelligent way, not all on my own, but with the nutritionist and my sponsor, was just such a revelation to me. So I just wanted to share that experience. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Trish again. I wish I had thought of this earlier, so I'll keep it really brief. I just wanted to share with you something that really works for me that's fairly new in my food plan, like within the last 5 years. I generally have a snack, had, past tense, a snack in the afternoon. That went away this year. God decided that was time to give that up. One of the things that sometimes happens, life sometimes happens, and sometimes I'm out at a business dinner or at a friend's, and I don't get enough protein for dinner. And that is a trigger for me. I'll spend the rest of the night going, so what do I get now? What do I get now? What do I get now? Can I have a little of that? Ooh, I should have some of this. It's completely insane for me. And yet, I know I need more than what I got. I discovered hard-boiled egg whites. They are not going to trigger me. They are going to give me the protein I need. I get nothing on them. And they're fine. They're like taking a pill for me. It gives me the protein I need. It's not going to trigger me. And it makes me sane. It's like, okay, look, there you got what you needed. You're done. And I'm so grateful. And my dog loves the yolk. I'm so grateful. I have them available all the time just in case. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone, so much for sharing. And I really hope, you know, if you've got something that you've learned here at this meeting, please take it to your meetings and share it. I really want to suggest, though, there's a lot of people that accidentally break people's anonymity. If you've heard something I've shared or Greta has shared, just say a friend of mine shared. I heard at a meeting. You don't have to say, oh, Teresa said, blah, blah, blah. I tell my sponsees this, too. My ego can't handle it. So just say, a friend of mine said. And it doesn't matter who said it. Even if God said it, you can say a friend of mine said, because, you know, whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, and I wanted us to be on time because I like it when we close and the people on the tape hear the closing. So let's say the third step prayer, if we can get in a circle quickly.